Occasionally, we're able to see on TV or in movies bloopers. Bloopers, mistakes that people have made that are sometimes more entertaining than the movie or the shows themselves that they're captured from. Today, I have a few from, appropriately, some church bulletins that some mistakes were made. And I'm sure you've seen some of them, but they're obviously very entertaining. They also show you our humanity, how we aren't perfect. So the first one reads, "The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus." Number two, "Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands." I really like that one. That's funny. Number three, "The fasting and prayer conference will include meals." Oh, how about this one? I've seen this one before. "Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help." Five, "For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs." "Next Thursday, there'll be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get." Seven, "The church will host an evening of fine dining, super entertainment, and gracious hostility. Potluck supper Sunday at 5 p.m. Prayer and medication to..." Nine, this is really good. "The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They may be seen in the basement on Friday afternoon." And 10, the final one, "This evening at 7 p.m., there will be a hymn singing in the park across from the church. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin." Oops-a-daisy. One thing we know, the church is filled with imperfect people. They say if you can find a perfect church, please don't attend because you'll make it not so perfect. Of course, we're talking about this subject today because we're talking about our church's mission, the Grand View Covenant mission of worship, grow, and live. Three basic words. The first one, worship God, gathering together for praise, prayer, and proclamation. Growing in Christ, together knowing God's word of grace and truth, as reflected in our time, talents, and treasures. And today we start three Sundays on live by the Spirit. In God-centered community, loving, caring, and sharing Jesus Christ with others. So, in the original New Testament text, the Greek word for church is ecclesia. Ecclesia. Matter of fact, if you go to Mexico and you speak Spanish, that's what they call the church, ecclesia. The word meant, it was a secular word that meant a gathering or assembly. Said another way, in our context, a God-centered community. The true church is people. It is us. It is you and me. The church should be a Spirit-empowered community where we find worship, praise, prayer, proclamation, as we talked about, God's truth being reflected in our time and our talents and our treasures. It's also about loving God, loving His church, caring for them, and sharing Jesus Christ with all who need His salvation. The church is also described as a community of fellowship. The Apostle Paul used the Greek word koinonia, meaning to share in common. Our message today is centered on the beginnings of the early church, which we find in the book of Acts. At the start of our sermon today, we read from Acts 2, and we saw the power of the Holy Spirit as it descended upon those early Christians. They've been praying for days since Jesus went up to heaven and left them as He ascended. That event impacted thousands that day because the passage told us that 3,000 came to follow Jesus. Not only that, they were baptized too that day. Now I want you to picture that. It's like you all became Christians today and we all baptize you all today just with what you're wearing. I've actually seen that done in churches before. So that is the day we call Pentecost. Normally, when I say the church, what do you think of when I say the church? I'm not going to ask, but you might think of a building, a worship service, a denomination, an institution, a congregation, maybe the universal body of all believers. That is the church in some ways. Some folks, some organizations even want to be called a church so they can get tax breaks. You see that as well. The word church means different things to different people. For our purposes today, we're going to make it a very simple and a simple explanation. We're going to define church as us, as I've mentioned. The people of Grandview Covenant Church. We're talking about people and individuals and families that make up our congregation. The group of followers here in Larchwood, Iowa, called Grandview. We are the church, not the building, us. And as I mentioned, as Christians, we're certainly not perfect. Yet God has chosen us. He has chosen you and I to be His people. People that belong to Him. Just like Jesus' disciples, there were regular, simple folks with regular, simple occupations and jobs. Jesus spent 3 years traveling with them, living with them, investing His life in them. They may not be prime recruits. They might not have been the prime recruits that you and I would have selected, at least when you think about launching a major, groundbreaking, frontline organization to communicate God's life-changing plan for the world. Would you have picked those 12? They often found themselves arguing about who would be the greatest. You see, that's what they knew about this world. There was a pecking order to life. They traveled and listened to Jesus' words, and they could see this could be the Messiah, this could be the guy. They thought, wow, maybe we have a chance to move up, the ladder. The trouble was, though, Jesus kept talking about serving and sacrifice. That just didn't compute with those guys. They were about power, might, even conquering the world. The last thing they wanted to think about was servanthood, serving others. Yet these are the men that Jesus picked. He picked them to start His church. Quite a motley crew, but on the other hand, it gives us all hope. If you're going to select a dozen guys to change the world, would you have picked these men? Imagine if Jesus had taken their resumes, their descriptions, and turned them into a team of consultants from a modern management group. What follows is a review of the disciples' resumes. Thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you're considering for management positions in your new organization. All of them have taken our battery of tests, the results of which will run through computer analysis. We've arranged personal interviews with each candidate with psychologists and vocational aptitude consultants. It's our staff's unanimous opinion that you continue your search for people of experience and managerial ability, people who have proven capability. We find that Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of rage. He seems far too impulsive to be in a position of oversight. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The brothers James and John place personal interest above company loyalty and seem to be impatient with others. Due to this impatience and ambition, that could one day they could become disgruntled employees. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel it is our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted from the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau, but in closing, one candidate shows great potential. He's a man of ability and resourcefulness and ambition. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your comptroller and right-hand man. All the other profiles are self-explanatory. Sincerely, Jaffa Management Consultants, Jerusalem. No doubt about it. they would come up short. God's redemption plan on this earth, however, is much more than a rescue for just individuals. It's about a redemption of people. A people that God calls His people. So we ask the question, what did people of this first church do? What kind of activities did they do? What were their characteristics? What were their markers as people of God? We get our answer right away. Right after the end of Peter's sermon at the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, we pick up the whole following passage is 42 through 47, but just verse 42 gives us those basic components. This is Acts 2:42. And this is a passage, if you ever want to think about church, this is the start of the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The first one, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they devoted themselves to studying the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth about God, the scriptures, as much as they had them, they were looking to learn all they could. They had fellowship. They had koinonia. They spent time together. They enjoyed a bond together that can only be found in Jesus Christ. They were empowered in that relationship with a common link. The Spirit of God Himself was part of them. Together, they broke bread, like we will do next Sunday when we have communion. They'd been taught by the disciples had been taught at the Last Supper, and they brought it to those early meetings, so they had communion. And not only did they remember what Jesus Christ did, they celebrated the redemption that was found through His death. And finally, they prayed. As Christians do all around the world, they talked and listened to God. They shared their needs with each other. They praised God. They look to draw closer to Him every day. The passage goes on to talk about how they were filled with awe. You could say with shock and awe even. Could you imagine what they witnessed? They were sharing together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to take care of people in their midst that had needs that came up. They were glad. They were united in sincere hearts and attitudes towards God and towards each other. The last line in this passage states that God added to their numbers daily. What a time. What a thing to witness, to be there in that day. But no, the church wasn't perfect. Just like today, and we know from the Pauline letters especially, the church had its issues. But they did have koinonia. They did have a closeness and a fellowship that we too can experience if we pursue a healthy biblical church community. So what makes a healthy church? What makes a healthy community of God? Well, we can see some of the elements in Act 2, focusing on God's word, having true fellowship, sharing the Lord's Supper, praying together, serving together, helping one another whenever we can, being compassionate and caring about others in general, sharing Jesus Christ whenever, wherever we can. A healthy biblical community means holding ourselves accountable to truth. Holding ourselves accountable to God, to each other, to live lives pleasing to God, and being committed to a process to deal with matters when they come up, being committed to pursue resolution, and especially committed to restoration whenever possible. Jesus Himself gave us an example of what we should do to restore those who have sinned. It's a simple passage, but a critical one. A passage really we all need to know. We all need to understand. We all need to be aware of it. When you have tensions with each other, you want to go to this passage, and that is Matthew 18. I'm going to read verses 15 and 17. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their faults, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Being a healthy church demands we deal with problems. Not just don't think about them. We must realize the spiritual battle we are in. We must draw close to God, to His Word, and to each other. No one likes confrontation. No one likes that. We should seek other means whenever possible. But there comes times. There's times when truth has to reign with as much grace as possible, but the truth has to come out. Let our motivations be targeted on restoration. Let that be what we want. We must challenge sin and deal with it firmly, consistently, and rightly. Matthew 18 teaches, to sum up what I read, that passage, it means approaching a sinning brother or sister privately at first, keeping the loop small, not broadcasting to the world. If they won't listen, it then instructs us to take one or two others and approach them again. Again, keeping the loop as small as possible. If they still refuse to respond, take it to the church. And number four, if all those steps fail to be responded to, treat them like non-Christians, like people outside the church. Not with anger or meanness, but with grace and truth, as we might talk with anyone else. Always being kind and gentle, polite and appropriate. Understanding they are God's creation too and deserve respect, if nothing else for that reason. You know, I've seen other churches struggle with this passage. I've seen them try to deal with problems and they've done it badly. I've witnessed it being done badly, harshly, with great anger, with meanness, with retribution. But I've also seen it done well. You especially see it over time when it's done well. A church needs wisdom, discernment, and especially a healthy dose of God-fearing leadership. We need that to pursue grace and truth. With great courage, we must never ever forget this passage, Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. It's scary almost when you think about it. The battle that wages around us that we really have no idea. Its influences are strong and impacting. We can be very thankful and encouraged here at Grandview. We have a solid and united leadership team that is committed to God's Word. We're by no means perfect, probably far from it. But as a leadership, we hold ourselves open to God and to the accountability of this church. At Grandview, we'll always lean into what God would have us do as our first priority. What would God want us to do? We will not take action on our own strength, in our own wisdom. But in everything, seeking God's wisdom, we should find comfort and strength in the words that Jesus said before he left, as recorded in the Gospel of John. This is John 14:26-27 in the NLT. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Thank you for your heart as a people. We look to pursue everything God wants us to be as a church, first and foremost, as His people, who recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We know, as His people, that we are spiritually and spirit empowered in our community. We are the body of Christ. We are His church. A couple verses. Ephesians 4:16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each one does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Romans 15:5. May God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Just some direct application for us. As we pursue spirit-empowered community, consider how you fit. Consider your abilities and your gift and how you can contribute to this church. Maximize your eternal life by maximizing your life in this church. Be involved, engaged. Look at the values of the early church and match them. Let's look at what they do. Those four points are powerful. Set your life on God's word daily and on the fellowship with His people. You can't be an island unto yourself. You are a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Participate with renewed commitment to the church. Lean into the church. Press forward with the church in mind. And a final personal one for you individually. Step up your own prayer life, today and every day. Sometimes we measure the prayer life of a church by how many people turn out for meetings, how many people come to the prayer meeting. I really want you, as individuals, to focus on prayer, walking with God daily, looking for His advice, His influence, His consciousness in our hearts and minds. Let God bless you with His community. And you'll never regret Him being the priority of your life. Join me as I pray and we lift up our church and the work God has for us. Lord, it is sobering to consider the responsibility you impart with us. Left to ourselves, we would really mess it up. But with your Spirit guiding us, with your Holy Spirit influencing us, give us strength, give us courage, give us grace and patience with each other. Let us have hearts of understanding. Let us have a theme of restoration behind everything we do. May we honor you with our lives here in this world. May we honor you with the lives we live in this community, a community focused on the living God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.